This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock and co-host Kevin Bowersock. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission. All part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian and Kevin at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Now, here's your Auto Talk host, Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks. Welcome to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. In the house with me is my co-host, Mr. Kevin Bowersock.
Good morning.
Good morning. And what are we here chatting about this morning for Auto Talk Radio?
We're talking about cars.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
His answer what, every single time.
I know. What about trucks? Can we talk about trucks?
We can talk about anything mechanical.
It's hard for me to take you seriously with your hair sticking up like a rooster.
But what's wrong with that?
It's all good.
When I roll out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning.
I think it's your headphones doing it. You got the wave going on. It's all good.
How'd I get criticized for this? I roll out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning, lose sleep over it for free.
It's not for free. It's the enjoyment that you get out of being here with your brother. It's our fun time together.
Love you too.
Yeah. It's all good. Well, thanks for joining in this morning and for rolling out of bed. And even though your hair's all messed up, it's all good. You can comb it later.
Somebody's got to do this.
This is exactly why I shave my head, so that I always look GQ. My hair's never messed up. Have you ever seen me with my hair messed up, Brendan?
Not that I could say, no.
No. So
I definitely seen your beard fuller before because I've seen older photos and you went pretty.
I've had it long before.
Oh, you have? Like Grizzly Adams long, basically.
Yeah, long time ago. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep, not for a long time, though. In my early 30s. So, yeah, that was a long time ago.
Like 2 years ago. Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm kidding.
That'd be awesome. Not really. I don't know. I want to go back to my 30s. Oh, there was some fun days during it, but it's all good. Anyway, folks, appreciate you joining us here on Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego, 1170 AM and 96.1, as you know, because you're tuned in and listening. Unless you're listening to us on an app.
Yes.
Then you're not tuned into the app. But you still need to know The Answer San Diego, 1170, to find us wherever you're going to listen.
Well, it's listening to, you know, this audio thing is a way different game. And I knew it anyways, but... Me and the wife we're gonna sell our house because we have a big house and all the kids, you know,
trying to get rid of all the kids.
No, but I don't need that house anymore. So like, and you know what? Half the stuff we have there is all clutter. But We had this stack of CDs, and we're both looking at each other, going, "What are we gonna do with these? Should we keep them?
Throw them away?
We don't know what to do with them because we're like, yeah, that's why I'm just saying that right there just like was solid evidence. I mean, you know when something really slaps you and says things have really changed. I was like, I don't even know what to do. All these CDs were a ton of money, you know, what, 10, 15 years ago or maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But they're not worth nothing now. They're just, yeah. I don't even know if I want to save
nobody,
them.
Everybody just, you have, you know, like I have Spotify. If you want to listen to music, you just listen to it on your phone, right? I mean.
Yeah. And I think about some of the music back in the day, like they considered Hank Williams Jr. an outlaw. You had to go find his music. Now in this day and age, you can find it anywhere on the internet or, you know, go straight to his site or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. The internet's an interesting thing. All right. So today we're talking about myths when it comes to servicing your vehicle. Always great stuff to talk about. So and we'll see if we can debunk some of these. But the true statement here is today you never know who or what to believe about servicing your vehicle. It's why we use all the manufacturer's recommendations, etc., to help folks out as far as that goes that come into the West Automotive Group and can give you the proper information. But there are some things that I see out there that I love. Every now and then if I'm doing something, I'll pop, like there's these... boards like on the internet that people like post stuff.
Uh-huh.
and they're not technicians posting stuff. So some of it kind of is interesting to me. When I'm doing research on something to do a show on, I chuckle to myself sometimes as I go.
Yeah. That's why I tell people you got to be very careful when you Google something, because you got to read past all the dumb things. And you know what?
But it's hard to know the dumb things if you don't know anything about it.
And I get that, but you do have to, yeah.
So that's where people get themselves in trouble. So as far as that goes, you know, and today we're going to talk about several things that I saw posted and stuff. That's where I got some of this stuff from that we're going to go over and can discuss and put some truth to it or not truth to it, you know, as far as that goes. You know, one of the things we talk about and people replacing cars, as far as that goes, you know, fix it or replace it, right? That's an option when it's an expensive repair. So depending on the mileage of the car, et cetera. The average price of new vehicles in the United States has shot up nearly 14% in December from the previous year.
So, okay, my question is, what do they say the average price is, though?
$47,000 for a new vehicle. This is for new.
That's average. And I would say that would be about right.
Inventory remained tight following healthy consumer demand, huh?
I would say that about right, too, because I want to say most of these, you know, the newer SUVs, you're getting into, you know, you're getting, this is a weird thing. To us, it seems like a lot of money, but it's really, I mean, I don't think it is. I mean, it's relative, right?
Yeah. So the average price for a non-luxury vehicle was $43,000, slightly lower than the record high set in November, which was $47,000. So it's bouncing around a bit, but there's really high demand for cars. In the last 6 months, the average price paid by consumers was above the manufacturer's suggested retail price. So people are paying more than what Ford puts out or Subaru or whoever puts out a manufacturer's recommended price, right?
Yeah.
So people are paying more for vehicles than what the actual sticker price is now just to get them. So that's interesting, huh? Well, what do you say?
No, I said everything's relative, I guess. You know, they slow down production. More people want to buy stuff, and it makes things higher.
Well, yeah. So,
what came first, the chicken or the egg? You know what I'm saying?
Well, and I think part of it started with COVID, right?
Well, so, that's what I'm saying. What came? I don't even know where to start with that one. So, what came first, the chicken or the egg? You know what I mean?
I was going to say that these car manufacturers don't want to slow down production. It's the fact they have to because, again, of COVID or chip shortage, though. I mean, that's my opinion in the matter. If it was their way, they'd be cranking out cars left and right. And those lots that you see at cars dealerships, they wouldn't be as empty as they are right now. So I agree with you. I think COVID was a huge issue, and the computer chips were the huge issue too.
Well, they couldn't manufacture cars, exactly. So, but two things hit at one time. The computer chip issue was also caused by COVID, also because they couldn't they weren't manufacturing everything, kind of
right. So, and then we also had that shipping issue too at Los Angeles or even everywhere else.
They're
too,
still making the same money by producing half the cars, though.
Actually,
that's not all I was thinking.
They're making more profit margin.
They're making more
profit per car. So their average sale has gone up, and the money they make on each car is higher, and they're selling less volume. So they truly,
that's what I said. What came first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know where to. I mean, right now,
if you can sell less for more for each thing, you're doing better than you are selling more.
This is all volume. Working in their favor is all I'm saying right now.
Yeah, but I think they could sell more. I don't think they've hit the...
I don't know. I disagree. I think it's actually hurting them.
I think they're going
to
keep...
I think it is hurting them. Because they haven't come to a point where...
Yeah. It will, though.
Where it's equaled out.
It will pass that, though. Because we're not going to go backwards in price, and we're going to start producing more and more cars. And this is when, you know, by next year... And that's what corporations, I mean, that's how they operate. They know they're going to lose in the beginning and make a tremendous in the end. So
they're not really losing right now. They're just not.
Well, you know what I meant. You know what I meant, though.
Yeah, they're not. They don't have the sales. But what they're going to do is I agree. I don't think the price will come down on these cars, though, again, when the demand, there's more cars than there's demand. That's prices fall on demand right now. So when they get to a point where they back up to full production and all that, then cost will start to drop down a bit on them. And the reason why is because there'll be cars on the lot and you have options. And when you have options, then prices
It looses a little, but not much. I mean, even houses didn't, even though they did slump a little, they're you know what I mean?
Housing market's different than cars, that's for sure. But right now it's because there's none, it's pushing the price up or hard to get. So just one of those things for sure. Anyway, but yeah, just so if you're thinking of it, yeah, you know, somebody told me, I was talking to a friend of mine and he says, man, my 2016 F-150, they want to give me more money for it. You know, he's like, it has 70,000 miles on it. They want to give me more money for it than I bought it for. And I was like, yeah, but then what are you going to buy? Because whatever you're going to buy right now costs more money, right?
Well, if you can afford to buy another truck, there may not be another truck to buy.
That's my point. So, that's why they want to buy your truck.
I know.
So it's one of those things for sure that, yeah, you have to be cognizant about if you're going to make this. So the point that I was just making to this is now is probably not the best time to have to buy a car. So it's take care of your vehicle. Let's service them properly. Keep them in good order. And later down the road, when the cost of cars come back down and there's plenty to choose from, then might be a better time to buy a car. That's the only point that I'm making.
I know this is not the investing show, but do you have a prediction on when it possibly could go down, those prices? I mean, I don't see anytime soon that the computer chip shortage is going to be being solved anytime soon or anything like
It takes time to ramp back up anyway. I mean, plain and simple. So I would say a couple years.
You know, the bad thing is, though, there's a lot of people out there buying cars right now. And I've been noticing this. I just seen a lot of car thefts lately. Like on these Facebook, these pages, you know what I'm saying? I just seen people.
I don't know what you're talking about. Pages.
Well, I mean, like pound,
Craigslist, like advertising.
Card? No, like
Reddit. You mean something like Reddit?
Let's say Escondido page or a Fallwork page.
Oh,
gotcha.
Oh,
okay, so, yeah.
Oh, well.
And I've been noticing a lot of these people saying the cars are getting sold. Well, guess what? These people are trying to buy cars. They can't buy cars right now. Because their car got stolen, dude. It's gone.
Oh,
they got no choice. They
gotta
go. I've just been seeing that people, and I get why they're. I'm gonna say they're complaining about it. I get why they're complaining about it. But you know, your car gets stolen. I can't even buy a car right now because I can't find a car I want to drive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, car thefts, carjacking, those crimes are up, from what I understand, but you're right. So now you have to go try to find a car to replace your car if you do lose your car that way. Or accidents. I mean, your car gets totaled. You have to get, I mean, at that point, when a car's totaled, you have to go. So those people have no options. They have to find a car, right? And,
yes.
And even used car prices are extremely high. But I don't want to make this show about buying cars because it's really not. So I'm going to move on. The only point I wanted to make is, like I said, that right now is not really the time. If you don't have to, if you have a good vehicle, service and repair, and it's a way better option than it is to go out and try to find a vehicle to replace it. Because even if you are able to sell your vehicle, it could be a job to find one to replace it with.
You know what? You got to weigh it all out anyways. Because even before all this Corona started, I had another S10 that I've been driving for years. I made the decision again. Hey, I can put X amount of dollars in this, or I can find another one. I'm like, you know what? I'm comfortable driving this car. I'm just going to put money in this, and I'll just drive it for another 5 years.
There you go.
That's how it. Because I'm like, a lot of times I start looking for their cars. I'm like, what I got is somewhere. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because if I buy this one, I'll have to put more money in this used one than I will use one I'm even just working on right now. So
that's true. That's true. So one of the things we're talking about, obviously, is myths about it. So one of the myths that I found that I was like, somebody said, when you inflate your tires, inflate them to the max pressure shown on the sidewall of the tire. Is that correct or incorrect? That's incorrect. Why? I'm going to answer my own question.
Yeah. Well, it's only rated to that PSI. It doesn't mean you should set it at that PSI.
Well, that's not what. Yeah, we use the tire pressure that's on the door jam.
Yes.
Because it's for that vehicle.
Or fuel mileage or whatever.
Well, all kinds of things. Let's face it. The engineers came up with that tire pressure for several reasons. One, safety and control. Comfort of ride. Gas mileage. All these things are figured into what they and actually the car operates and rides and drives and handles the best at that tire pressure, right?
Yes.
Plain and simple. So very, very important as far as that goes. So do not max pressure on the tire itself is just that's the max that tire can handle, but it could be used in multiple different vehicles or scenarios or whatever, right?
Yes.
So as far as that goes. So yes, always follow what the manufacturer of the vehicle for your vehicle says.
Well, it's just, you know, the ones that I'd say Toyota's probably most, I see this most. Toyota likes to do the 29 PSI in the front. And then, so, but they did that because when they were testing it, they figured it out that it could brake and steer and get better fuel mileage with them putting less fuel mileage or less air in the front tires. For whatever reason, that car handles better that way.
There you go.
So that's why they do it.
Yep. So, which is one of the things, safety, ride, et cetera. Yeah. So all that. So the pounds per square inch figure on the side of the tire is the maximum pressure that tire can safely hold, not the automaker's recommended pressure, which provides the best balance of braking, handling, gas mileage, and ride comfort. The figure is usually found on a door jam sticker, which we said, or in the glove box. Older cars used to have it in the glove box. Or on the fuel filter door. I've seen it there too before, but not very often. Usually it's the driver's door, open it up right there by where the door jam is, and the sticker's there, and it tells you what the pressure to put the tires at. You should always perform a monthly pressure check when tires are cold. Why do you check air pressure when tires are cold?
Because what happens when air warms up?
It expands.
There you go.
Yeah, so the pressure goes up. So the pressure is supposed to be set when cold, so you do it when at...
The question is, what is cold?
Ambient air temperature outside.
I know, I'm just wondering.
Well, you don't need to go find someplace that's negative 32 degrees to set your tires.
Well, depending on whether you live in Arizona, Alaska, I guess I that could make a big difference. Could you know what I'm saying?
There's no lie to that. Could make a big difference.
Even on a warm day in Alaska, it's probably what?
All right, folks. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio here on The Answer San Diego 1170 and 96.1 FM. We're going to take our first break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks. Welcome back to Auto Talk Radio this morning. Here we are. We're already three quarters of the way through January of 2022. It'll be Christmas 2022 before you know it. Yay! No?
Do I have more gray beard now than I did two weeks ago?
Wait until you have kids.
No!
It's about that you... Give it another year because you've been, you know, you'll be married over a year then and things will start.
So true, so true.
We relied on marriage jokes at this point in our show, ladies and gentlemen.
I gotta tell you, dude, but having kids was one of the best part of my life, dude. I mean, just, you know, when you're younger and you're having your kids and stuff, just getting up in the morning with them and some of the funny things they say to you and the things you're doing with them is just the greatest thing in the world.
I bet. I can't wait to have a kid soon. I really do. I want to have one soon, so...
I mean, you know. I'm getting older right now. Me and the wife are like, no, we don't want no more kids of our own. But
my kid's older than you, Brendan. He is. He's 29. He's 29. He's almost 30. He'll be 30 next year. He just turned 29.
Man. Yeah. Time flies fast, you know?
I'm old. I'm glad I had kids when I was young.
I'm 26 and I feel old already. So, I mean, what can I do? I mean,
I'm double your age.
Oh. I'm not going to say that out loud.
I just realized that real quick.
I'm not going to say it out loud. Like, whoa.
Whoa.
A lot of stuff happens in 25 years. I'm just saying.
Shh. Yeah, a quarter of a century goes by. That's what happens. That's a lot.
And then your kids grow up.
That's two and a half decades. That's a long time, my friend. Guess what? Don't blink. Goes by fast. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all good. All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I do want to remind you, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido. AAA approved and STAR certified for smog, taking care of folks in North County up there for coming on to 29 years here shortly. along with West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission out at 844 North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon. AAA approved, taking care of folks in East County for almost 9 years now. And West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission at 8027 Balboa Avenue right over there in Central San Diego. AAA approved and taking care of folks over there for almost 5 years now. And West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, 5726 Miramar Road in Eastgate Mall, right in the Golden Triangle, right across the freeway from where we're at, right?
Right.
Right. AAA approved and STAR certified for smog, taking care of folks over there for almost 3 years now. All of us at the West Automotive Group, me, myself, my employees, and everybody come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio for one simple reason. We believe in the same philosophy. That is, we never put money ahead of people. Very important to us. Stop in to have your vehicle serviced to repair and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about. The West Automotive Group is also proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs on approved credit. Stop in this month, January. They're running a special on these with Synchrony. We are to get a West Automotive Group card, and Synchrony will send you a $100 Visa card to be used for whatever. So hey, it's free $100 back. How could you go wrong there? And you also get 6 months in to pay for your automotive service and repair needs, right?
Sure.
Without interest. Okay, cool. Do it. Get on it. Just ask one of my service consultants or one of my managers at any of the four locations, West Automotive Group locations. They'll get you taken care of. Take advantage of our CertiCare transmission diagnosis also. If you think you have a transmission problem, get in and let our experts diagnose it, because we all too often see transmission repairs done that do not fix a problem. Often even see them in their... We've seen, last week I had a call from a gentleman with a F-150 with very good point that he made. He said, I think I'm having a misfire, but no check engine light or a transmission problem. We have seen vehicles get transmission repairs for that kind of problem, and it's a misfire, and it has nothing to do with transmission. Therefore, money spent for no good reason. So get your vehicle in if you have a transmission issue you're thinking. Let us diagnose it properly. We'll steer you in the right direction. You'll save a lot of money. The best money ever spent on any repair is the money spent on a qualified diagnosis at a quality shop, because it saves you so much money in the long run. Do you want to say something?
Well, yeah, it'll save you money. Plus, it'll save you. Don't get stranded somewhere.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. Diagnose and fix properly is good stuff. We also offer free shuttle rides to or from worker home and low-cost rental vehicles at any of our four locations. Jump on westautomotivegroup.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Once again, that is West Automotive Group. com. Very simple and easy to remember. From there, you can also make appointments, etc., for any of the four locations. Check us all out, see what we're all about. You can also email us anytime at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. That's autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. So we're happy to help you out in any way we can. While you're on westautomotivegroup.com, you can also check out where I'm the auto man on the CW and Fox 5 News throughout the week. Our YouTube channel is accessible right from westautomotivegroup.com, and check all those out. And also Auto Talk Radio, which you're listening to now, you can see all the segments there off of westautomotivegroup.com. Just click on Auto Talk Radio. You can also grab all the podcasts, any of these places you can go to. Just put in the answer San Diego 1170 and it'll pull it up, and you can click on Auto Talk Radio and download. You can get them from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Deezer, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio.com, and TuneIn. We're here to help you. WestAutomotiveGroup.com. Right?
Correctamundo.
Correctamundo. It's all good. Okay, this morning.
I'm trying to feel young still.
Right? That hoopty thing.
That hoopty. Yeah, exactly.
Tin Lizzy.
You jumping in your Tin Lizzy later?
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, last segment we talked about the tires being denser. In the mornings, is that correct? Is that what you're saying? Or it contracts more in the mornings?
Air when it's cold. Yeah, contracts when it's cold and expands when it's hot.
Gotcha. So is that the same thing with gasoline then? Because I've heard so many people say,
yes.
Oh, it's better to get gasoline in the morning.
Yes.
Because you'll get more fuel then in that case. But it's actually the opposite, right? Because gasoline gets denser when it's a colder temperature like that in the morning.
When it's hot, it vaporizes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're saying you lose some. So you can get more fuel in your tank when it's cold, because it's liquidized.
Gotcha.
So as far as that goes, I mean, well, I guess if it's I don't know. I don't think there's – I've heard that before. It costs me the same whether I fuel up in the morning or not.
I'm sure if you were traveling and you had this – you know, like if you were a trucker and you had this all mapped out just right, it probably does save you some money. But – on an everyday person, well,
diesel
you're notice
doesn't
it.
Fume like gas
yeah, but
does. So.
You know what I'm trying to say. You'd have to really map this out to make that actually work in your favor really good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess you would get a denser liquid. Gets that liquid's more dense. I don't know. Yeah. You had to gotta ask an engineer about that. I don't know. I can tell you this: you're not getting that much more when it comes to gasoline.
So you're not saving that much.
I don't
really,
think
in all
so.
Honesty.
I don't. Okay. My personal opinion. Now, an engineer might call us and tell us that that's a chemical engineer that I'm wrong, and that's a possibility. This is. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm not an expert on gasoline and how it dissipates or whether it's denser or not when it's cold or hot. I don't know, but I will tell you this: air inside a tire, for sure, I can tell you the pressure goes up when it gets heated up.
Perfect.
So okay. That's why you don't want to do it hot.
Gotcha. Exactly.
Yeah, because okay. Then it'll be really low when it's cold.
Gotcha.
So it's one but of those unless you use nitrogen, which does not expand or contract at all.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. That can help. That can help quite a bit. It's one of those myths that
that's why
I get my wife with too. Like she'll say, like, "Oh, you need to idle the car in order to keep the engine warm and things of that nature." But in all honesty, you're not doing very much by doing that. I hate it when people start their car to think that, "Oh, I'm just warming up the car in order," especially on a really, really cold day, because you're not really doing much in all honesty.
Well, back in the day. And I'm going to say back in the day, long before you were even existed.
This is a throwback right here.
Carbureted cars needed to warm up because of drivability. They did not. The cold was not good. They did not respond well. Carbureted cars didn't at all. So you got them started. You let them warm up. Once warmed up, then you drove.
You know what, though? I'm thinking back in the day, if you had a car that stopped at every stoplight like we'd have today with carburetors, you'd have to mash your foot, you know, give it a little fuel from the carburetor.
Yeah, that wouldn't have worked out.
It would have cost more money and fuel. But with today's...
Well, not only that, but today's cars come up to operating temperatures so quickly. I mean,
it's
really
not necessary.
Quick.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
There is really no.
She's got a 2020 Hyundai Elantra. She's going to be fine.
By the time she pushes the button, starts the car, backs out of the garage, lets the garage door close.
It's already warm.
Her car's ready to go. You get ready to drive. You don't got to sit there. She sits in her car and lets it warm up every morning.
Every morning. But that's also because she, as soon as she steps out into cold temperature, her body temperature drops to like 80 degrees. She's like, I cannot stand this cold weather. I'm not going to have her listen to the show, hopefully.
Yeah.
I'll be sleeping in the doghouse or something.
All you got to do is get the automatic start button for her. She can look out the window, start her car up, finish her coffee, and by the time she gets out there, her heated seats are already on. There you go.
There you go. Boom. All done.
Yeah, I have that on my truck, actually.
Some of them technology, you know what? Because big trucks got heated seats. I'm saying some technology as you get older is kind of cool.
I can do everything with my truck started up, et cetera, from my phone.
Yeah.
See? Yeah. I can just hop on my phone, start truck up, and let it warm up.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, huh?
You are so braggadocious I could turn
my seat heaters on, too. So I think you need to buy her an app.
I think so.
The Ford app actually comes with if my truck. It came with it.
Oh, hey, okay. Well, this is a Honda, so I don't – Honda.
They probably have an app, though, right? Okay. I wouldn't
– Some of these electric cars, and I haven't seen it in use yet, but I heard that you can actually call your car. So, like, if you walk out of a restaurant, you hit your app, then it'll
– only Teslas do that. But I've seen it done before. But it goes really slow.
Like, I don't. Yeah, but that's just,
but
think about
here's
that,
my thing.
That's cool.
I don't want to do that. My car will run me over. I'm sure. There's just
think about if it's raining though, dude.
Idea.
I mean, I'm not talking like a sprinkle here. I'm talking like a pour down right? Like a Chicago pour down.
Not a bad idea. I'm gonna tell you straight up. Not a bad idea. So it's good to do. All right, folks, we're talking about myths. So before we have to take our next break, I want to get to if the brake fluid is low, Kevin. Topping it off will fix the problem. If the brake fluid is low, topping it off will fix the problem. No.
That was a loaded question.
It will fix that problem. It will fill the reservoir back up. But if brake fluid is low, something's worn. The brake pad, shoes, something's worn.
Yes.
And the pistons have come out, and that's where the brake fluid went. So if it's extremely low, you need to either you have a leak or the brake pads are worn, the level when it drops. So that helps you monitor brake wear. So if don't keep adding brake fluid too, that's a terrible idea.
Well, besides that too, once you start fixing your brakes and have to push the pistons back out, then all that fluid's got to be squeezed back out of the system again too. So there's other underlying things that's happening too.
There is. So my point to all this is straight and clear. If the brake fluid's low, you need a qualified brake inspection. Get the brakes looked at. Find out what's going on for sure. And then go from there without question. All right, folks. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego, 1170 and 96.1 FM. We're going to take our last break. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks. Welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. In the house with me is my co-host, Mr. Kevin Bowersock.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. We're talking about automotive servicing myths or not. We'll see. We've rolled through two of them. We talk about brakes and we talk about tires so far. Good stuff. I do want to remind you, Auto Talk Radio is also brought to you by Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. Interstate Batteries are the highest quality batteries out there. We do not stock nor sell any other line of battery at the West Automotive Group for one simple reason. They are the highest quality batteries out there. Number one technician recommended battery worldwide. Interstate Batteries for sure. Definitely the highest quality out there. If you need a battery for your vehicle, any vehicle, just jump on West Automotive Group. Make yourself an appointment where you can make all your appointments straight from westautomotivegroup.com. Make yourself an appointment. Get in. We'll get you an Interstate installed. If you need a battery for any other need, let me tell you, they have batteries for everything. 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar or in La Mesa at 70th and University. You can find them at their storefronts there. You can get a battery for every need. That's Interstate Battery. Battery for every need. Highest quality out there. Okay. So we are talking about different myths when it comes to servicing a vehicle. So, if regular grade fuel is good, is premium grade better? So, in other words, going from 87 to 92 octane or 91 octane, is that better?
You know what? It depends what the engineer set the car up and run on. Honestly,
it's a good point.
Because if your car is not meant for the higher octane, it can cause problems too. Because the higher octane doesn't burn as hot, so it can build up like creosote or carbon or whatever you want to call that.
Well, it doesn't predetonate as much,
it doesn't. But I'm just saying, yeah. It depending how the computer's set up for it, you know what I'm saying.
So most vehicles run just fine on 87 octane. Most vehicles using premium, these cars won't hurt. It really doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt, but I'm saying it can extend.
But it won't improve your performance either.
No, because computer's not set up for it.
Yeah, higher octane number simply means that the fuel is less prone to pre-ignition problems, which is true. So that's why. Race fuels like 110 octane because it doesn't predetonate and it's run at higher.
All the impurities is out of it.
Correct. Well, actually, the problem is lower octane, if you have high compression, when it goes, it predetonates before it gets to the top.
It'll ignite.
It will ignite and it's fighting itself, and you don't want that. That's what predetonation is. So, sounds like the monkey's trying to get out of the cage.
Because it's not supposed to explode until the piston starts its venture.
So higher octane is later at the top when lower combustion engines, 87 is fine too, because it doesn't fire off until it gets to the end of its, almost the top of its compression stroke. Totally, that's what you want. The problem with when you put low octane fuel in a high performance engine that's higher compression ratio is it ignites before the piston gets to the top of its stroke of the compression stroke, and therefore
tries to force it down.
Force it down before it gets to the top, and that's why it rattles. So that's what makes that noise. But a higher octane number simply means the fuel is less prone to pre-ignition. Like I said. So it's often specified for hotter running or high compression engines, like what we just said. So if your car is designed for 87 octane fuel, don't waste your money on premium.
Now, I will say this. If you have a car and they tell you to only run the 92, and BMW is big for this one, try putting the lower grade in it. Your car will start idling funny. It'll start running funny.
It will, because the car's engineered to run on higher octane fuel. Cars run higher compression and also hotter temperatures sometimes. So, yes. Because, and that's another problem. If you run, if a motor's running at a hotter running motor and it they requires higher octane, a lower octane ignites as soon as it is exposed. So therefore, the hotter temperatures cause it pre-ignition and won't again, which we don't want.
The fuel's already warmed up and ready to burn.
Already warmed up and ready to burn. That's for sure. So just one of those things as far as that goes. Hey, a couple other, while we're going through this, a couple other things, things. Hybrid, so we keep talking about different car sales, so I was just going to bring this in. Hybrid sales hit the highest record in the United States in 2021. So that was their best year of sales for hybrids, believe it or not. Reuters posted sales of hybrid vehicles jumped 75% from 2020 to 2021. That's a lot.
But I'm not surprised by that, in all honesty. Yeah. People saw how big gas prices were. And, of course, like you said last week, people don't want to drive electric vehicles right now since they're so gosh darn expensive. So the next best possibility is probably hybrid vehicles.
Hybrid's a good option if you're going to be driving a lot. You're right. So jumped 75% from 2020 to 2021. Now, keep in mind, so a hybrid vehicle is electric and gasoline,
right?
ICE. Internal combustion engine. You do have an engine, so you can put fuel in it and drive as far as that goes, you know. So I will tell you this that you need to be aware of. Some of these hybrid vehicles, Nissan's one famous. We've had a couple Maximas that the hybrid batteries were like $9,000.
Okay, wait,
replace them.
I'm going to ask $9,000.
Unlike Toyota, that's $3,500.
Yeah, but I'm going to say $9,000. Does that... just the batteries? Is that the installed? What is the $9,000?
I think
grand
it was installed, but it's like 3 or 4 hours of labor. Okay.
But
so still, most of it's battery.
No, like
$7,600 battery, $7,200 battery.
I'm sorry, though, but when you're on a, I mean, a person that owns a car like that, and get it, we've all been there, kids,
that's like
and all
buying
this,
another used car.
That's my point. A bill like that, dude, another $10 on top of a bill like that could just, you know, destroy you.
So, yeah. 801,000 801,550 hybrids were sold last year, 2021. So 5% of the total new vehicle sales. EV sales also jumped significantly, increasing 83%, which is sold in 2021. General Motors sold fewer than 25,000 EVs, though, this year, and only 26 in the fourth quarter.
I believe that. You know why? Because look around right now. I see Chevrolet selling a lot of trucks.
Well, also, which is largely due to their... Chevy's having a problem with Chevy Bolt and battery fire risks. They're having a lot of problems with that. So a lot of people.
And that I'm not surprised we're not seeing that more, because even look at these phone companies, dude. When they try, I mean, look at Samsung. Look at all the problems they had with their phones, you know, blowing up or whatever. So, I mean, that's part of the battery game too, you know, trying to, because when you try to, you know, it's just like even your phone. If you're using that too much, you can feel the back of your phone just heat up where that battery is. You know what I mean? If you're trying to draw too much out of a battery one time, it don't like it. If a cooling fan goes down or something, you know, it can destroy the whole system. So,
well, and Chrysler says they're going all electric by 2028.
You know what Chrysler's also doing right now?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, they're cashing in right now on their hot rods because they know it's coming and they're preparing for it. So I guess they're ramping up and installing all these hot rods right now. I guess they got waiting lists, though, for it, so it's working out for them.
It is.
And I don't see these guys, like, their performance side still selling motors and all that stuff. I don't see you not being able to get your stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you'll still be able to get stuff for those cars. As long as there's a market and they can make money off of it, they'll still make it.
Yeah. Sure.
I will say, I just looked up to see what the highest selling cars are in 2021. The highest selling electric vehicle, not surprised, is a Tesla Model Y.
Which has the worst customer service rating.
Right. Yeah, it's ranked 17th highest. So, but you scroll down all the way down to the list to number 5. That's the first hybrid car on the list there, which is a Honda CR-V.
Mm-hmm.
They say the hybrid model of it has been selling very, very well. But then when you look at the top 3, it's nothing but pickup trucks there. It's the Chevy Silverado, the Ram pickup, and the Ford F-Series as
those
well.
Those are all all internal combustion.
Exactly. So it just correlates with your story more, even more so. So
I gotta say, Honda,
thanks for putting some meat on my plate.
No problem. Hey, I'll put the peas and the mashed potatoes. The great. Oh, no.
Honda's probably, but I mean, with their EV stuff seems to be doing a little better than a lot of other people.
Well, that's hybrid.
Well, yeah, but you know what?
The difference.
Because behind electric cars, who started electric? I mean, electric was done a long, 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 long time ago, but I do know early 80s, even General Motors was working on electric cars. They even, and then they had the EV1, the Saturn, in the early 90s.
What was that car that GM made, the first electric car they made?
The EV1, the Saturn?
The EV1, that's what it was, yeah.
Well, that was the first production one they put out for a while.
Yeah. Boy, that thing, if you tromped it, you could watch the battery go whoop, and it could leave you alongside the road before you know it. We've come a long way.
Yes.
We surely have. But yeah, it's funny because people talk about Tesla all the time, and I think we discussed this on a previous show. Tesla is one of the number one sold electric vehicles, right? But also is like the worst rating when it comes to customer service. And
what are you expecting this? Okay,
didn't you hear service. That? There was a crazy story a few weeks ago where a guy, his battery was dying in his Tesla, and it was going to cost him $200,000 to do the whole repair entirely. This is not including just the battery. This is like in terms of
those
replacing.
Cars don't even cost $200,000.
I know. So what he did instead was he decided to put explosive in the car and just explode.
I don't see it cost.
That's the silliest story ever.
Well, yeah. Why would you? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
That's my thing. Some of these.
Sure, it wasn't like $20,000.
I will take a look again, but I'm very certain. I'll take a look again.
Yeah. All you got to say is Elon Musk is techie. So part of these, you know, like the.
Oh, I'm not.
No, hold on. What I'm saying, though, is all these comments and everything, and that's part of the techie thing, too. You know, it's hard to tell with some of this stuff. You'd have to sit down and start reading every one of them and read past, because I'm not so sure. You know, people get mad. They throw things out on the internet all the time. So it's like.
You got to take everything with a grain of salt. I get it. But no, that was actually a survey that was done, rated like that, how the customer service on them. And if you talk to people with Teslas, they'll tell you, yeah, the customer service right now is just terrible.
And
to get them serviced is terrible.
The parts are expensive. Well, you know, they're putting a lot of them out there. And the parts are expensive. I mean, even the tires, I don't know if they've come down, but they used to be like $1,200 a piece or something like that. Because only Michelin made them, and they had this like foam rubber center to them, or something weird about them.
Yeah. Well, so that's another thing. When you have a hybrid like Priuses and all that, the tires for them are for hybrids. They're different than regular car tires.
So no static electricity, no resistance.
You put the wrong thing on them, your gas mileage goes to poo-poo.
Oh, yeah. Because now the car's fighting itself, and it takes more fuel to run it.
Mm-hmm. Does that mean the tires are a little bit more expensive, too, in that matter?
Absolutely.
Priuses have always been that way. And you know what? And you always see people putting cheaper tires on them. So, and then they're telling me how good a gas. I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah.
The gas mileage goes down.
You were right, by the way. It was just $22,000. So I overhyped the story a
bit. Yeah, you added an extra zero in there is what you
how
did.
How dare I?
I was like, $200,000? I don't think so.
Well, and that car, what does that car cost brand new?
70, 80,
depending okay, on so 20. Yeah. So to replace, which the car is all batteries, basically.
It's like replacing the
engine. You basically just replaced half the car for $22,000. That sounds like a bargain to me.
Yeah. I will tell you one thing about electric cars, and we're off topic here a bit, but some of the newer, like the Ford one that I saw, each has this design has a motor, electric motor, at each wheel. So it's all-wheel drive all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so no matter what, I mean, it's kind of cool, you know. It's definitely more. Well,
think about this. Nothing is in the center of the car then, other than a battery. I mean, you don't have to have no drivetrain then. You don't have to have.
And putting the battery is the heaviest thing in the center of the car underneath. That's why it keeps them stable and on the ground. They don't tend to flip over because the weight distribution's good.
So. Working on cars might get cleaner, I'm just saying.
Well, there's no oil.
I mean, I'm an old guy, so I'm going to have to finish up with the, you know, the older ones. And I don't mind the old transmissions neither. I'm good with all those stuff. I'm going to have to finish this up with the greasy side of it. But you know what? Some of the new tech's coming in. I mean, you know, this could be where people just walk in with their laptop. And, you know, maybe this is going to become a techie kind of.
Could be. All right. Let's get back to what we were discussing, though, different myths, because I got a couple good ones here. I found somebody posted, you need to flush your coolant every oil change. Even Brendan's saying no in there. I can hear him.
He's saying no because he's thinking of the cost.
Yes, exactly. I listen, from a man who has experience in cooling flushings for about, I don't know, three times on the car because I went to an auto repair shop before you guys. that was not diagnosing it correctly. It's quite expensive after a while. And then when I got to you guys, my car runs perfectly fine. So another advertisement for you guys. But still, it's true.
Just honest.
No, I know. You guys are qualified and you guys diagnosed it correctly. So I can tell you from here at this point, no, you don't need to flush your coolant every time you change your oil.
See, even Brendan knows this. But
I'm not a master tech.
That's true. But radiator coolant doesn't need to be replaced all that often. If you have old style coolant, every 2 years, 24,000 miles, that regular ethylene glycol coolant. If you have extended life, oat, hybrid, all the extended life coolants, you can, we say usually 3 to 4 years, 50,000 miles in there. So, which is quite a bit of miles. That's not every oil change, because you should be changing your oil every 5,000 miles, especially if you're using full synthetic. You know, if your car gets higher mileage, we say every 4,000 then, if you want to extend the life of it. If people say to me, well, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do anything. You don't even have to change your oil in your car. Just drive it till it dies if you want. I mean, that is an option, right?
Yeah.
It's an option. It's not a good option, but it's an option.
Honestly, a lot of people do that.
Some people do.
And whether they want to do it or not, I mean, especially you get, you know, in the midst of the, if you're going to school, having kids, this, you get in the midst of it, you don't realize that you didn't take care of your car. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. That's why cars die a lot of times. We see them.
I mean, we see houses die
this
that way.
This one's just for Brendan's wife. Let your engine warm up for several minutes before driving. Seriously.
Yeah. We just talked about that.
I pulled this one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, reality. Let's be honest. That might have been good advice for yesterday's cars, but is less so today. Modern engines warm up more quickly when they're driven. And the sooner they warm up, the sooner they reach maximum efficiency and deliver the best fuel economy and performance. But don't rev the engine high over the first few miles while it's warming up. So, and it doesn't even take a few miles anymore. I'm telling you, cars now are so, they come up to temperature so quickly.
All you got
to
do basically when you get in your car and it's cold, start it up, put your seatbelt on, adjust your mirrors. By the time you're done with all that stuff, your car is pretty much ready to go.
Ready to go. Turn your seat heater on.
I mean, because 30 seconds is all that really needs. And by the time you're done doing all that stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Getting your radio on.
Here's one. A dealership must perform regular maintenance to keep your factory warranty valid. False. As long as the maintenance items performed and serviced by a qualified technician, your warranty stays in effect. And that's because there's a thing called the Magnum Moss Act. Magnum Moss Act. I forget the name of it. Magnum. Anyway, there's a law that states that you can have your vehicle serviced by anybody qualified and it keeps the warranty intact. It's called the Magnum Moss Act, I think.
Well,
like, is it Magnum Moss? I don't know.
I'm thinking just the horrible thing. If we had to go one place just to have everything done, that would be so horrible. Because then they would have a kind of like over a, not just money wise, but time wise and all that stuff. They'd have you over the barrel.
What's that?
I mean, they could control.
Oh, if they had to make you do that.
Yeah. Well, they'd say 5 months, we'll get to you maybe. Or
well, that, could, not only that, that's why people have to have options. This is the great United States of America, so therefore that cannot be required. All that is required is that you follow a maintenance schedule, make sure and service the vehicle the way it's supposed to be. If you service it and you keep all your records, you'll be just fine.
Magnuson Moss Warranty Act. Yes.
That's what it is. I've Magnuson Moss Warranty.
Very, very good, though. Yes. Very good.
That was close. Yeah. It was like of 1972 or something.
Hey, we all know
so
what you
close.
Meant.
75.
Okay. We all know what you meant.
Yeah. Well, not everybody minded if they wanted to look it up. Brendan didn't know until he looked it up.
Yeah, but I mean, that's how you figure. I mean, some things, you know, it's like when people misspell one thing, I don't think that they're dumb.
No, very true. I just forgot the pronunciation of it. Oh, how about this? Dishwashing and laundry detergents make good car wash. That's right. Boy, all these are myths.
Say that again.
Dishwashing and laundry detergents make good car wash soap.
I read that they hurt the paint,
they
correct?
Do. They do.
Yeah, detergent can strip off a car's wax finish is what happens. Instead, use a car wash liquid. That's made for you. Go to an auto parts store, buy car wash liquid. Use that stuff. Keeps your car squeaky clean, looking nice.
Is it okay if it's the car wash and the wax
mixed
together?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
But what you mean, the stuff that you buy that's that together?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's made for that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know that much about it, so I don't know.
No, it's like these shampoo companies. They do like 5-in-1s. Well, that's what I was saying. And then Shelly tells me, okay, those are bad for you. And so I'm like, oh, okay, so if that's similar to the car, then I can't do waxing.
I'm going to give a free real quick because we got about a minute and a half here and we're going to have to fly. Brendan's going to be screaming at us to get off. But, the best thing that I've found is these new car washes that you drive through that charge like $14 a month. I wash my truck every week, and it's only $14 a month. I drive there. They have the vacuums, and the truck stays beautiful. Beautiful. They're touchless. You know, it's all nice. I don't have any specific one, but they're putting them in all over the place now. And they're like $14.99 a month for the lowest member thing, and you can wipe the... provide rags and vacuum and keep your truck beautiful. That's my thought. Anyway, do you have any parting thoughts quickly? Because you got about 40 seconds.
I like that deal. I was doing it, but you know, I took some time off and I really wasn't driving my truck, so I stopped it for a while. It was just sitting there.
All right, San Diego and everybody out there, keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up. We appreciate you joining us for Auto Talk Radio every Saturday morning. Check us out at westautomotivegroup.com if you have any questions or anything, or we can get you in for service. We'll get you all taken care of. Everybody be safe. Have a great weekend, and we will catch you next Saturday. This has been Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego, 1170 and 96.1 FM.
For answers to all your automotive questions, tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com, and click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.
This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.